This is Gerald Schroeder, acting as hearing officer in this matter. This is in the matter of licensing water right permit number 01-7011 in the name of Twin Falls Canal Company and Northside Canal Company. This is the time set for hearing on the petitions to intervene and the objections to those petitions. I'll ask first that those persons who are present in the building identify themselves for the record, and then we'll go on to those who are on the telephone line to identify themselves for the record.
Thank you. Shelley Davis, Your Honor, for petitioners Northside and Twin Falls Canal Companies.
Candace McHugh for the Groundwater Districts.
Michael S. Gilmore for the Idaho Water Resources Board.
Victoria Weigel, IDWR.
Phil Rassier, Deputy Attorney General, IDWR.
Who do we have online?
Your Honor, this is Rob Harris with Holland, Kibble, Hahn, and Crapo on behalf of the Upper Center.
Sure, this is Travis Thompson just listening in. I want to be on mute.
Good.
Okay. Who else do we have? That it? Okay. Let's hear first on the petitions to intervene. Mr. Gilmore, you're here, so why don't you begin?
All right. Thank you, Your Honor, hearing officer. The Idaho Water Resource Board has petitioned to intervene in this case. I won't review the statutory and constitutional provisions of the petition unless the hearing officer has any questions other than just a little bit. One of the obligations of the Idaho Water Resource Board is to formulate the state water plan, and as I quoted on the petition to intervene, part of the state water plan, particularly part 5A, 5B, 5C, has to do with the minimum flows in the Snake River and the relationship between minimum flows and hydroelectric power. In particular, 5B, which was inserted into the state water plan by the legislature, ends with the following sentence: the exercise of water rights above Milner Dam has and may reduce the flow at the dam to zero. That is the part of the state water plan that is the impetus, the protection of groundwater rights and the possibility of hydroelectric rights above Milner Dam, or all rights above Milner Dam, the possibility that flows at Milner Dam may be reduced to zero as a matter of state policy. And that's the primary impetus for our petition to intervene.
If I understand that you're concerned that this will be bypassed by, literally bypassing and having water going on below.
Yes.
Okay.
That's a specific concern, but just general concerns for the entire state water plan.
Well, I'm having a hard time seeing how that entity is different from, say, the legislature in having a concern about the enforcement of its laws in the fashion that they're passed, as to why the legislature wouldn't be a valid party in lawsuits where a piece of legislation is under question.
Periodically, it is unusual, but the legislature has intervened in lawsuits when it is thought is particularly important to do so. Trying to think of examples.
We've had specific legislators intervene in order to attempt to show a particularized interest. That occurred in the, as I recall, in the voting term limits case, I believe. But it was specific legislators. Is there a case where the legislature itself, and I don't recall if redistricting has ever had the legislature, but I don't think so.
The Idaho legislature has, I think, been defendants in those cases and wasn't necessary to intervene. Actually, I'm going to switch a little bit from the state to the federal level. I do know, for example, in cases like the line item veto cases that went to the U.S. Supreme Court, that Congress or houses of Congress have intervened in cases like those. It is an unusual but not an unprecedented procedure for the policymaking body, in this case, the constitutional body of the Idaho Department of Water Resources. And I think the other possibility, which was not emphasized in my petition to intervene, is that the Idaho Resource Water Resource Board does have the ability to put in claims and does have claims with regard to aquifer recharge and the like, and so that gives it a very concrete interest as well to those that I mentioned in my petition to intervene.
Any further argument?
No, I think the rest of my argument would just be if there's any reply or rebuttal after the opposition.
Very well. Ms. McHugh?
Yes, sir. Thank you. I won't reiterate a lot of the argument that's in the joint reply. I'll leave that to Mr. Harris. But as far as the groundwater districts in Aberdeen Springfield Canal Company, we are located in the Upper Snake. Our petitioners represent groundwater users who would be, the threat of curtailment would be upon our groundwater district members if recharge, for example, could be curtailed by the lack of this condition and couldn't be used as part of the mitigation or long-term solutions on the Eastern Snake Plain. In addition to that, they own water rights for recharge upstream. Aberdeen Springfield Canal Company owns water rights for recharge. And I think that these interests need to be heard in this case to support the fact that a run-of-the-river right, such as a hydropower right completely downstream, should not be used in a manner to affect the entire administration of the Upper Snake. And with that, I stand for questions.
Did you wish to respond?
Absolutely. Thank you, Hearing Officer. The groundwater districts, or excuse me, the canal companies, have opposed intervention of both of these separate parties. First, on the basis that they don't meet the requirements of IDAPA Rule 353 and that they don't demonstrate a substantial and particularized interest in the licensing proceeding that will be continuing before this hearing officer for the canal company's license. Both of the parties, the groundwater districts and the Upper Snake water users, have simply stated that they are concerned that recharge take place and that as a matter of course with this license that somehow this proceeding could have the effect of prohibiting that from going forward.
Is that correct?
No, not from our position, Your Honor.
Why is that?
The licensing proceeding is to determine priority rights of the canal companies under this license for the Milner Power Plant. And whatever relief that this court might grant as a matter of this proceeding, hearing officer, would not either dictate whether recharge takes place or does not take place, simply to declare the rights of these canal companies as this license is concerned. The second issue, or do you have questions?
Yeah, if they're not permitted to intervene in this case, according to that argument, would that mean that at a future time, if the structure of that licensing did have an impact, that this issue would be open for litigation by not only the districts but by individual water users who might be affected?
Absolutely. Sir, I believe that this would go to a ripeness argument, essentially, and that both the groundwater users and Upper Snake water users and the Idaho Water Resource Board have taken a position that broadens the issues before this, unduly broadens, which is another violation of IDAPA Rule 353, the issues before this hearing officer in the license protest proceeding as it's been presented to the hearing officer in the appeal. And that is an additional violation, like I said, of Idaho of IDAPA Rule 353. Second.
Let me interrupt and go back to Mr. Gilmore. That was one of the concerns that I had, is the petition by your department was very broad and seemed to open up much more than the subordination issues that were addressed by other interveners. Where are you on that?
I am in the uncomfortable position of only being able to meet with the board as a body, and I have not been able to meet with the board as a body since we filed the petition because I haven't had any meetings. However, I guess I would ask the hearing officer's permission to amend the intervention if the hearing officer is of the opinion that the intervention in the broad sense is not sufficient, to amend the petition intervention to refer to the very things that the canal companies refer to in their opposition. That is to refer to the IWRB's groundwater recharge permits with priority dates as a very specific reason for IWRB to be allowed to intervene, because the priority recharge dates versus the zero flow of Milner are so very directly intimately connected. We have a very substantial interest.
With that clarification, go ahead.
Your Honor, we did, in our initial responses to the Upper Snake water users in the groundwater district, state that the Idaho Water Resource Board might be the appropriate intervener in this action if their intention was to protect their potentially junior recharge rights to the 1977 priority date of the Milner license. However, if the hearing officer were to allow intervention on that basis, I would request that the hearing officer very specifically limit the participation of the Idaho Water Resource Board so that they don't unduly broaden the scope of the proceedings by also alleging the numerous Snake River policies of the state water plan. And I take the, in fact, in my notes, I was going to use the same example that the hearing officer did, that, you know, an Ada County commissioner does not, or the Board of Commissioners doesn't intervene every time one of its agencies carries out the policies and rules and laws that have been committed to the discretion of that agency to mete out. And in the event that the amendment is granted and they are entered as interveners to protect their groundwater recharge rights, I would hope that the court would make the order very clear that that is the extent of their participation. And to get back, if I may, to the groundwater districts in Upper Snake, their allegation that they have water rights that might be affected and that could be injured by this, right? The Aberdeen-Springfield right that Candace referred to has a priority date of 1895, as it's claimed, which is clearly, I think it's clearly, you know, superior in dates to the 1977 license of the canal companies, and therefore could not be affected by any outcome. And secondly, the Mud Lake water users have a claim that is on Camas Creek, tributary to Mud Lake, and so would also not be affected by the outcome of this proceeding. And that does not, again, state a particularized and concrete issue that could be addressed by this court. That goes to my standing argument, that they simply have not, they haven't stated the type of injury that could be redressed by this activity, and therefore they don't have standing to participate, in addition to not complying with IDAPA Rule 353.
We have several participants on the phone line. Any argument at this point?
Yes, Your Honor. This is Rob Harris. I do have some arguments that I would like to present.
Go ahead.
Your Honor, as I understand the canal companies' arguments, they're generally stating that the Upper Snake users should not be allowed to intervene on two grounds. Number one, they can't meet the intervention standards set out under the IDAPA rules, and two, that they don't have standing. And I'd like to respond to each of those. On the first issue of whether or not we meet the standards for intervention, we've outlined in our brief the standards that are found in the IDAPA rules and compared to the federal and Idaho rules of civil procedure. And as the court can see, or the hearing officer can see, they're pretty much contain the same standards. And on this issue of whether or not the Upper Snake and the groundwater districts have a substantial interest, we disagree with the canal companies that we do not. We think we do have a substantial interest. In our brief, we've cited to a case from the Fifth Circuit that we think is helpful, and the facts are somewhat similar to what is before the hearing officer today. In that case, the Sierra Club sued a federal agency, and the real target of the lawsuit was groundwater pumpers.
And on appeal, the Fifth Circuit reversed the district court's denial of intervention and just stated directly that the real target of the lawsuit, groundwater pumpers. And I would disagree with the canal company's assertion that if we weren't allowed to intervene and the subordination language as is currently listed in the permit was changed, that we would later on have the ability to challenge that language. This is the administrative proceeding that will define the elements of this water right. And short of the water right holder filing an application for transfer to change that, I don't think there's any procedural maneuver of which I'm aware that we would be allowed to somehow get in and change the elements of our water rights. So now is the time to for the interveners to be involved to ensure that the condition is maintained in the permit as it's currently proposed. On the issue of whether or not we have direct and substantial interests, as to actual water rights, Mud Lake Water Users does have a permit that is junior priority to this Milner right. It would be directly affected. And on that ground alone, I think they would have standing to intervene. But in addition, they are also groundwater users, and recharge is a critical component of maintaining their ability to pump groundwater and also groundwater districts as well. Fremont Madison primarily has storage rights, but they also hold groundwater rights. So they also would potentially be affected by the subordination condition. And I think the direct threat here is that groundwater pumping is curtailed. And I think there shouldn't be much question that that's a serious threat. What's happened in the last few weeks, I think that that's a real possibility and a concern for the groundwater district. So we certainly believe we do have a direct and substantial interest in there. On the second standard for intervention is whether or not the party proposing to intervene is adequately represented by the other parties. And the canal companies have asserted that, well, state is essentially aligned with you, there's really no need for you to be involved. And again, the Sierra Club case is instructive, where the Sierra Club made the same argument. The Fifth Circuit held that the agency is obligated to represent the interests of all parties, not just one industry. And then they went on to say, for this reason alone, the interests of the Farm Bureau will not necessarily coincide, even though they share common ground. And so I don't think that the interests of my clients and the groundwater district are represented by the state wholeheartedly. I think that the best way to ensure that our interests are protected is for us to be involved directly. And lastly, on the issue of whether or not we'll unduly broaden the issues, our intent is not to address any of the other issues that the canal companies have appealed. Our only concern is the subordination language contained in the permit. Secondly, on the issue of standing, in our briefing we've cited some cases where I think it's clear that this court held that you can't try to intervene asserting a generalized grievance. But if there's a distinct subset of a group of people, that those individuals would have standing to intervene. And I think here there are a specific set of water users in the state of Idaho that are potentially targeted, and that's my clients and members of the groundwater districts. And the last argument I would make, hearing officer, it appears that on the standing argument that the canal companies have perhaps asserted that, well, even if we have standing, we don't have what is called organizational standing. And we've outlined in our brief pretty clearly, I believe, why we believe that we would meet those standards to intervene. So in conclusion, I think we do meet the standards for intervention under the IDAPA rules, and secondarily that we would have standing to intervene. Thank you.
Any arguments for others?
Hearing Officer Shar, this is Travis Thompson.
Good.
For the town company. I'm on my cell phone. I apologize. If you can hear me, I just have one comment.
Okay.
And I'll defer to Shelley to make a reply. But the issue of the water board's intervention and something that's really concerning to me is that even in their reply, they don't state whether or not they're going to seek additional conditions on this water right. And I think if they are allowed intervention, they have to take the case as they find it. And they can't come in now and seek additional conditions that they could have appealed the license within the time frames provided by the statute, which they didn't do. And they never protested the permit in the first place. So if any intervention is allowed, I think they have to take the case as they find it. Thank you.
If I agree with that position, which I do, does that solve your problem?
Absolutely. I guess if they are allowed intervention, that it would be limited to what is before the hearing officer, not additional conditions the board may seek to impose now on its own.
Thank you. Anything further?
No, thank you, Your Honor.
Let's go around once more.
Okay. And this is Mike Gilmore, for those of you on the phone. For the water resource part. In terms of the three issues identified in the canal company's opposition, the first has to do with FERC licensing, and IDWR is not seeking to address that. The second has to do with an issue that the IWRB, I beg your pardon, I meant to say IWRB. The Idaho Water Resource Board has both a proprietary and a governmental interest in the second condition, that is, the diversion and use of water for hydropower purposes under this water right shall be subordinate to all subsequent upstream beneficial depletion or uses other than hydropower. And again, I would ask the hearing officer's permission if he thinks the governmental interest in and of itself is not sufficient. There's also the proprietary interest in the applications having to do with groundwater recharge, the ability to take Milner down to zero, et cetera. The third issue identified by the canal companies is the volumetric limitation, and we're not planning to take any position on that. So really, I think if we want to narrow things down, of the three issues identified by the canal companies, the Water Resource Board has both a proprietary and a governmental interest in the second one. And I will certainly amend the petition to intervene to articulate the proprietary interest if the hearing officer thinks that's necessary. So far as broadening the scope of the proceedings, as I said in our reply, we would not have had the right to initiate a contested case or the like, but once a contested case is initiated, the department's rules do provide for intervention. And interveners normally take the case as they find them. We have three issues that have been presented. We're not going to address two of the three issues, but we do plan on addressing the second of the three issues.
Do you wish to respond to that?
I do, briefly. First, I'll respond to Mr. Harris's argument. Specifically, I want to respond and distinguish the Sierra Club case that the groundwater and Upper Snake users have relied upon so heavily. And in that case, the Sierra Club, the specific relief that they requested in that case would directly have been targeted at those potential interveners. They were requesting that the government take action against, essentially, these parties. And so in that case, it was clear that they were actually the real parties in interest, and that is why they were entitled to intervene. In this case, we just don't have that. This proceeding is simply to determine the rights of the canal companies under the license in the priority system. It's between the Department of Water Resources and us. Secondly, as to Mr. Harris's argument that they are not adequately represented by the Department of Water Resources in these proceedings, if the hearing officer re-reviews the final order that was issued along with the license, you'll find that paragraphs 16 through 24 of that final order specifically address all of the issues that are being raised by these interveners in this process. And so to take the position that they are not adequately represented, I think is a false position to present to the hearing officer. As to any concrete injury understanding, under the standing argument, I think that we've made it, our briefing speaks to that, and that none of these parties have recharge water rights that can be affected by the outcome of this proceeding, and therefore they haven't established a concrete and particularized injury that is capable of redress by any relief issued by this court. Lastly, as to the Idaho Water Resources Board, Your Honor, the case under the Idaho Code 42-1734, which sets forth the process that the Idaho Water Resource Board must go through in order to establish a state water plan, they are committed with the formalization and implementation of the state water plan, and then it is specifically dedicated to the individual party or the individual agencies in their discretion to carry out the authorities that they have committed to that department in conformance with the state water plan. And in his final order, Director Todd Hill made it very clear that they had taken into consideration the state water plan in issuing the license, and so for that additional reason, the participation of the Idaho Water Resource Board is unnecessary. And I don't think I have any further.
I have continuing concern with leaving this issue open for litigation in the future, that if this would bring it to a close, whatever the result was, isn't there significant benefit to doing that rather than precluding intervention and having the risk of, if you will, serial litigation if each entity that might at a future time have an interest could bring a challenge to the water right?
I appreciate that concern, Hearing Officer. And my position in response to that is that the Department of Water Resources is perfectly capable and has, in the final order, recognized their authorities to carry out the licensing in conformance with the state water plan and in conformance with the laws of the state of Idaho, and that the additional participation of these interveners is not necessary in order to finally resolve this issue as it relates to the priority rights of the licensees.
Just one final comment. I think it's important to recognize that this is a water right that's for a year-round use down low on the system. It's essentially a run-of-the-river right. This hearing officer is fully aware of the implications of a lack of condition on such water rights and their effect on upper users and groundwater users and the effect on that in the administration. And while the Department of Water Resources is the administrative body, I certainly think it's that water users who are affected by those administrative decisions should be allowed a voice when, such as this case, a water right is coming up for licensing and administrative conditions are at issue, so that we have the ability to discuss, brief, and be heard on the questions of how those conditions should be included or not included. And since our water users are the ones affected by those administrative conditions, I think we should be allowed to intervene.
If I may, Your Honor.
Go ahead.
Just a comment or two upon the canal company's theory that the department will represent the two petitioners to intervene. It may be a happy coincidence, as far as the petitioners to intervene are concerned, that the department agreed with it, but the whole purpose of the canal company's contested case is to get the department to disagree with our positions. We can't stop the department as adjudicator from disagreeing with its earlier decision, but as a party, we can present reasons why it should not. Adjudicators simply do not represent the interests of proprietary water users. We are delighted that we've wound up in the same position as the department. That's no guarantee it's going to end up that way, and that's why we need to be here.
One vital.
Nothing further. I think we've said it all.
Well, so far as Idaho Water Resource Board, we've narrowed that participation down to the second issue that was in the order, and that upon that basis, permit the intervention, and that will be strictly limited. So far as the upper Snake users and the groundwater users, it seems to me that there is an interest that can be significantly affected by any order that is ultimately entered in this case, any final order, and any order subject to judicial review. I think there is sufficient interest to permit intervention and to establish standing. I think it's far better to have these issues determined at this stage of the proceeding rather than leave open for the future what would appear to be almost inevitable litigation. Resolve at this point, have the right defined, and do it now. I don't want to turn this into a democracy where the numbers, we count numbers of objectors and numbers of proponents and come to a decision. So I think it would be advisable if the positions are coincident between the Idaho Water Resource Board and the Upper Snake Users and District, that there be some consolidation so there is a single or a limited presentation rather than simply being an overwhelming roll call of persons. So I didn't, because I'm in the mesh of trying to get the final recommendation done in the A and B call, I don't anticipate writing an opinion. If I can just, one of you will submit an order in accordance with this, I'll sign it. Assuming it complies with what I've said. Thank you.
Hearing officer, this is Rob Harris. Could I just say one more thing?
Go ahead.
Briefly. And it's good news, I think. I just wanted the court to know that there have been some discussions with Mud Lake Water users and the canal companies, and there's a possibility that their concerns may be resolved through a stipulation. I think for purposes of intervention, if the order is prepared, we'll have it state that Mud Lake Water Users is an intervener, but just want to give the hearing officer a heads up that they may be filing a stipulation and getting out of the case.
Oh, I appreciate hearing that. I hope it happens. Anything else? Okay, we're in recess. Adjourned.